Well, boys and girls, I want to share another story with you this morning. And as before, we have some prizes as you leave. Let's hope, like the last time, I didn't give the answer away halfway through the talk. But I want to talk to you this morning. I want to read a couple of verses to you. And you can turn to them if you want. They're found in a book written to a young man called Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to read three verses to you. And then we'll have our story. Verse 14 says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." I want to talk to you this morning, boys and girls and young people, about food and about words. Food and words. In the Bible class, Derek and me sometimes make breakfast for the young people. Very occasionally. But on nearly every occasion, they get the same thing. I'll maybe test them and see if they know what it is. There's some very smart young people in our Bible class. And I'm not sure if they know the reason why they get the same thing. I'm going to tell them. Anyone know what it is? Let me see if anyone knows. What is it? Croissants. Okay. He's right. Every time we make breakfast, they get the same thing. They get croissants. And two reasons they get them is, number one is, we like croissants. And number two is, we don't know how to make anything else but croissants. So they get croissants every time. I want to talk to you about words as well this morning. Because when I was thinking of this story and reading about it, I was reminded about a story from a colleague in work who went to France. And we're going to talk about languages and words being translated into different languages. And this boy in work went to France on his holidays. And he was with another family, and as he got off the boat and they were driving down the motorway in France, they decided they would stop off at one of these service stations to get something to eat. And as they walked into the service station, my colleague said to his friend, "Now," he says, "let me do the talking." So that was okay. They went in. He went up to the counter. His friend was standing beside him, and he said to the lady behind the counter, "Je suis un croissant." Now, if you know any French, boys and girls, that means, "I am a croissant." "I am a croissant." You can imagine the lady behind the counter saying, "Summer has arrived." But I want to tell you, not today about a story about a boy who got his translation wrong, but about a boy and a man who got his translation right. And all of us today, this morning, are benefiting from the fact that he got his translation right. He lived almost 500 years ago, and his name was William. Now, your task is to get his second name. And let's hope I don't give it out during the talk. His name was William. He lived almost 500 years ago. And he was responsible for translating the Bible from the Greek into English for us. In fact, his Bible was the first printed English translation that we ever had. He faced great obstacles in doing that. And that's what we're going to talk about. I'm sure every one of you, boys and girls, you know, have a Bible in the house, and sometimes our Bible maybe sits on our shelf or sits beside our bed, and maybe we don't read it as often as we should. But we should always remember the great privilege we have to have the Bible in our own language. William was born in England, close to where I went on my holidays last year. He went to Oxford, and then he went to Cambridge. And it was there that he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He went at Cambridge. He found out, you have to understand what the country was like in those days. England wasn't a very good country. Henry VIII was the king. He wasn't a very nice king. The church was in an awful state. And the church thought that the word of God should be kept only for those who were the most powerful and the most privileged, and the most learning. So the ordinary person didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a Bible in their own language. They couldn't read it. And when William was at Cambridge, he met a scholar who knew all about the Greek. And William decided then, I'm going to translate the Bible into English so that everyone will have a Bible. And one day he was sitting around a table, and there was a lot of the clerical people there, the men who weren't very good. They weren't what they were supposed to be. And they were sitting around the table, and one of them said, listen, I would rather have the Pope's laws than God's laws. Just imagine. He said, I would rather have man's laws than God's laws. And this made William really angry. And he said, you know, I am going to purpose that the young boy who drives the plough in the field will know more of the Bible than you do. Well, boy, that angered them. That angered them. And William had to leave the country, and he went to Germany. And printing had just started then, and he started, and he got some friends, and he started printing the Bible. And he started smuggling the Bible back into the country in bales of wool and bales of hay and caskets of wine, and the Bible was coming back into England. You know, when the authorities in England found out about it, they were absolutely raging. They were raging. And they bought up all the copies of the Bible. You can imagine how difficult it was to get them printed. They bought up 6,000 copies of the Bible, and they burnt them in a big fire outside St. Paul's, the old St. Paul's Cathedral. They burnt them, 6,000 copies. But you know what? God turned it around, because the money that they spent to buy all the Bibles actually made its way back, and William was able to reprint revised copies of the Bible. And he sent more back. You know, William has been called God's outlaw. He was almost like a 16th century James Bond. Because there was spies everywhere around London, and they decided then to send the spies to Germany to find him. No, boys and girls, William was kept very safe. And it wasn't because he was trying to hide. The conclusion was that God had watched over him. William had decided no matter what the dangers were going to be, he was going to give his life to this task of giving the men and women of his generation and ours, the Bible in their own language. Eventually, he was caught by a traitor called Henry Phillips. And he was put away in a castle. And he lived in that castle for a year and 135 days without heat, without light, from candles or lamps, without very much clothing to keep him warm, without any friends and without his books. And eventually, the authorities killed William for the task of translating the Bible into our language. You know, when William was dying, this is what his words were. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And with that, he fell asleep. And you know, 1 year later, the king made an order that a copy of the Bible was to be placed in every church and made available to every man and every woman and every child within the kingdom. And 90% of William's translation is in our King James version of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? And the verses that I read to you will tell you that that book and that the words of the Bible says that from a child you have known the scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So reading your Bible can show you how to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then the next verse tells us that it's given by God and it helped us to grow as Christians and to grow up and perhaps maybe to become one day like a William. Where you share the word of God with other people and you tell them about Jesus Christ. What a tremendous challenge. Let me ask you first of all today, boys and girls and young people, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that the verse says? And if you do, are you growing? Are you going to get to the stage like William where you say, listen, no matter what God wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Doesn't matter what it's going to cost me. I'm going to make an impact for Jesus with my life. Tremendous challenge to this young man
who gave his life that we could have our Bible. So if you're going to France this year, do not be going into the shops and saying you're a croissant. But more importantly, remember even on your holiday, take your Bible with you. Maybe even read a little bit of it in the morning. A little bit of it at night. And God will bless you for doing that. Thank you.